Welcome to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are queer to answer your questions. I'm Cheyenne.
And I'm Gina.
And class is now in session. Today we're talking about being a late or later in life lesbian, because I don't ever think it's too late to come to terms with your sexual identity or just identity in general. But I'm going to come right out of the gate and say I have some beef with you about this, Gina, because I feel like whenever we have a guest, I feel like whenever we have a guest, you say that I'm like a later in life lesbian, or like I came out like later than most of the people. Yeah. And I was doing the math before we started recording, and I only hooked up like from the time I had my first kiss to the time I slept with a woman for the first time, it was like 3 years.
Consider you a late in life lesbian, though.
I swear you've said that before. Not like late, but like
you said, might have like said that you've thought that, but I don't, because yeah. You know what I think I've said? I think I've said like we've thought that we came out later than bloomers. Others.
Okay.
Because I feel like we came out around the same age, but I think we were like in our like mid 20s, whereas. Mm-hmm.
I was 20 years old.
Okay. I was more like 23, 4, or 5. Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah. I'd say 23.
Yeah. I've been doing so early shit 20s. For going on 9 years.
Oh my God, do we need to have like a 10-year like party or something?
We might. It was like right after my birthday is when I took a Snapchat picture the day that I had sex with a woman for the first time. So I could probably find the exact date.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I think we've at some point in our lives thought, oh, others come out way earlier than we did. Mm-hmm. But I don't think either of us were late in life queers or later in life queers. I think we just are jealous of those who like came out in high school because we didn't.
Right.
But I think a lot of people have that, like, I don't know if it's like an imposter syndrome or what it falls under, but I think a lot of people are like, oh, I wish I'd come out sooner. Mm-hmm. And that's where, because like I was going to ask how you determine, like, what is your age that you'd say is like a late or later in life lesbian, because I definitely don't think it's in the 20s.
Right. No, I definitely don't think it's 20s, but I feel like coming out at any age past like high school, I would say, feels like you almost like missed or lost something. And like, it's not true, obviously, because you still have like your whole life ahead of you to have things. But I think it feels like a loss of like authenticity or like experiences you might have missed out on. Like, there are just so many different things. Yeah. And I feel like that's why, like, the older you get as you, like, if you come out later and later and later in life, it can feel more of like a loss, because you might feel like you wasted time or wasted your energy on people that didn't deserve it, or like just didn't live truthfully to yourself, or like did what made you happy. Like, I know someone who was married for 20 years and then divorced him and came out as a lesbian. So like, that to me is like later in life, like in her 40s. But also, it's like none of us know how long we're going to live. So what if you live to 100 and you came out at 40? Like, that's not even halfway through your life. Like, that's later in life compared to someone who comes out in middle school, but like, it's not even the halfway point of your life.
Yeah. Well, it also could be a perspective of like who you're coming out to, because if you're 28 and coming out to your parents who've known you for all 28 years, it might feel like, wow, this is like, I'm like really old to be like having this conversation with y'all. But then if you're like talking to another queer and you're like, oh yeah, I just like came out last year, they're not going to be like, oh, that's it. They're going to be like, oh, congratulations. Like, I just feel like it could be a matter of like how long you've known that person, and that could determine like whether they consider it later in your life. Because like, my parents would consider my late 20s later in my life at this point than if I had come out to them at like 18. I mean, I came out to them at like 25, but still, actually, no, I don't even know when I'm 26. It doesn't matter. In any case, maybe that's part of it too, is like, who, like, if how long your circle's been around you. Because if, I don't know, if you're like, if you go to college, it's like a whole new set of people. Right. Then, like, I don't know, those who've known you forever and ever.
I think it's definitely very subjective. And I almost want to go so far as to say it's like, you know, those people who like think, and I mean, I guess that was kind of us at one point, like whether that was denial or ignorance or compet or whatever, but like, we thought we were straight at one point and then we realized we weren't. And I think there are some people who they might take 50 years to like realize they weren't straight the whole time, or for their sexuality to shift or experience some fluidity in some way. And that's
like Grace, I kind and of want to say,
yeah, like just like people realizing like at an older age that about their queerness is kind of giving like later in life to me. I don't know. It just, it's so subjective. And I wanted to name this episode later in life lesbian, because I don't ever think it's too late in life to live the life you want to live and be your true self and, you know, all that stuff that we always say. But yeah, I am excited to answer these questions, even though we are both relatively young. We're fresh meat, but we're also seasoned gays. I did not mean to make a food metaphor, but it worked.
I like it. It's fine.
Thank you.
So one of our first questions then, how do you cope with feeling behind my straight peers when it comes to romance and dating? I think that's even why you'd say like sometimes it feels later in life than it is, because you're feeling like you missed out and you're like trying to catch up or whatever. I don't think you need to compare your journey, especially to straight people who just got every single rule book handed to them that they could ever need. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not the same for what you're exposed to is at a younger age, typically in like straight world versus queer things. And so to say like you're feeling behind is so unfair to like yourself, like give yourself some credit and not like compare your journey to them, but like start where you're at. And like you really only need to compare yourself to yourself, you know, like did you make more progress from that you want to from last year to the year before? Like that's really all you need to be comparing.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And you know, like maybe you don't have experience dating non-binary people or other women, but like maybe you do have experience dating men and you can take from that experience and apply it to the situation that you're currently in. Like think about anything like a past male partner has done that you disliked that you would like to do differently, right? Or that you did like that you would like to emulate in this relationship. Like there are lots of ways to implement those things, and even if you have no experience with dating or romance whatsoever, like you have life experience and social interaction experience and just living life as yourself experience that you can use and implement in whatever relationships you encounter going forward.
I actually have almost like a similar answer to the next question that we have. Somebody said, well, OG lesbians, which is hilarious that they even used that term. I know what they mean, but that's just so funny. Will OG lesbians be able to tell that I just realized I'm a lesbian? Is that a problem emotionally slash sexually? I feel like everyone has, like, no matter when you came out, has the ability to have more or less experience in like relationships. Mm-hmm. So, for example, my girlfriend like knew she was gay way before like I did in life, but she didn't have like tons of relationship experience that I do have. And so we like bring different experiences to the table regardless of when we came into our queerness. And I feel like if you are now newly lesbian, like that's great. And any experiences that you have are just, is just relationship experience. And you can still take those like communication skills and compromise skills and, you know, patience and whatever you learned from previous relationships into your next relationship, regardless of what gender anybody is. And so I don't feel like it's ever a problem emotionally or sexually, because everyone's kind of just like starting in their, on their own playing field. Like again, even though my girlfriend came out like in life way before me, like in terms of like sexually, like there's still a pretty big difference in having like casual sex versus relationship sex. Mm-hmm. So there's like still a lot for us to learn together, regardless of where our journey started in relationships or queerness. I just mm-hmm. think that the person, like anybody that you're with, it wouldn't be a problem because like we're all just meeting each other where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it is a problem emotionally or sexually, we've said this in multiple other episodes, but like that's their personal problem to deal with. That's not something for you to take on. It's not your problem if they have a problem with it. That's their own thing to work through. And, you know, that's probably not the kind of person you want to be with. And if it is, that's something that you need to work through. But also, like, you got to figure out how to navigate that together in a way that's like healthy and good for both of you. This question made me think of another question that we have on our list, which is, how open are most experienced lesbians to dating older sapphic newbies? And obviously we don't have specific numbers for this, but like for me personally, like my girlfriend had never been with a woman before and realized she was queer like years ago, but she was with a man, and then she was single after a 7-year relationship at 27. So I guess that could be later in life to some people. And, you know, like, I'm like, hell yeah, like, we got a new recruit. Welcome to the team. And, like, obviously there are some people who are not going to be open to that. And that sucks for them because they're probably missing out on a great person. Like, this is, it's exciting. Join the ranks.
I actually have had both. I've had great experiences on both sides. Like, when I first came out, you know, I was dating AIM, and then I was dating my other partner, who was definitely an experienced lesbian compared to myself. Not that AIM identifies as a lesbian, but my ex girlfriend does. Mm-hmm. And they were both way more experienced than me, but really like open to, you know, just, I don't know, meeting me, like I said, like meeting me where I was at and being with somebody who wasn't. And then I've also had like a couple hookups where I was like their first, and I thought it was like cute and fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm glad that I can give them like a good, healthy first time that like is a great experience. I think
that they'll
never experience again.
Nothing will ever live. Just kidding.
No, I don't feel like I don't have that much confidence.
I'm just tooting
my own horn,
but
I confidently can say that the people whose first time I was, it made them excited to continue to like have sex with other women because I was a great first person. But like, I think it's a lot of like, I don't love the word disclosure because it like implies you have to like say something that like isn't good or something. But I think transparency maybe is a better word. Like, I think it's good to tell people where you're at, but like, I, on both ends, having been the more experienced and less experienced one, have always found a good reception. Like, I think we're just all happy to be here. And if they're not, don't engage with them.
Don't fuck them. They don't deserve you.
Don't fuck them.
Yes.
Save yourself for somebody who is worth it.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about fucking, another question we got was, how do you feel sexually confident when you have so much less experience than your partner? And I think this could really apply to any dynamic. Like, everyone has had sex with different numbers of people. Like, it's not uniform. It shouldn't be.
Right.
And it shouldn't be like stigmatized how many people you have or haven't had sex with. I think sexual confidence could come from like a willingness to learn, because we always say this too, but it doesn't matter how many partners you have or how good at sex it's about being adaptable and being open and willing to try different things and like wanting to please your partner but like still stick to your boundaries. Like, I think that's how you can truly be good in bed, and it's not just about this innate good in bed, like it's gonna hit the same for every person, because that's just not how it works. And I think sexual confidence can come from like knowing like sometimes you're not gonna be the greatest, but you know, next time moving forward, you know what not to do or what to do, and just trying new things and being open. And I think more people would feel sexually confident if they looked at it that way, instead of like, mm-hmm. I have to be a perfect performance every time or I'm a failure, because that just, it's not realistic. Like, right. That's not how sex works.
Yeah, and I feel like I talked about this a bit in our sexual dynamics episode, I think it was, where it was like, just being sexually confident in general, I think, can come from just like knowing that everyone's there to have a good time and, mm-hmm. you know, asking, does this feel good? Do you want more or less of this? One of my favorite questions to ask somebody that you're gonna like have sex with is like, how do you want to come? I think that's such a good question, because it's like direct, but also giving that person like the ability to really ask for what they want in a way that's sexy. And if you
you go, I just want to add, I was reading this book and there was like a sex scene, and this is like a similar thing before you move into anything else, but the person was like, how do you want me to make you come? And I feel like that's like a hot way to like ask. Yeah, like essentially the same thing. Like, I don't know. I think that's a good method for figuring out what someone wants. Or like, how many times?
Right.
How many times can I fuck you?
Asking those things, then you can feel confident because you know you're giving them what they asked for. Like, mm-hmm. why not feel confident when it's like, they said they wanted this, I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my gold star? Like, that's, you know what I mean?
Consent,
like, that's
101, I baby.
Think, easy. Exactly. But I think going with a positive attitude and wanting to just like have a fun experience, and mm-hmm. And I, like you said, this can happen with anything. Like, I do understand this, because when I first lost my virginity, I lost my virginity to somebody else who was also losing his virginity. And I was like, that takes some of the pressure off. Mm-hmm. And the next person, like the boyfriend I had after that, you know, I came off from having sex with one person like 3 times, and mm-hmm. he had been like fucking and sucking for years. And it was mm-hmm. intimidating to me, because I was like, is he, you know, not, and meanwhile, I'm 16, first of all, 17 yep. at most, but also I was like, is he not going to think I'm good or whatever? And it was so like, not like that. Like, as soon as we started doing things, I realized like, our experience levels really aren't the factor. It's just like how we're listening to each other. And like, honestly, was he like good in bed? Yes. But I don't think that was because he had all of this experience. I think it was because mm-hmm. We were listening to each other. Mm-hmm. And so I get that it can be something where you're like, I'm feeling a little vulnerable because you have something more than I have. But I just think that once you're like in it, like that's not really a factor, because it's just like, it's almost like showing up new every time when it's a new person.
Yeah.
You gotta learn all over again. So
yeah. And that's a really good point you made about experience levels also, because either you hook up with someone more experienced than you and it's fucking amazing and you're like, let's do that again, it was like a great experience. Or you hook up with someone more experienced than you and it kind of sucks. And you're like, wow, I guess experience level doesn't matter. That's not the thing that matters. Yeah. So it really, either way you win. Yeah. You just have to look at the situation positively. Like, the outcome is probably, hopefully going to benefit you either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to do the...
We've got 3 random questions. Yeah, well, what do you want to pick?
The one I feel... So this one kind of goes along with this, since we're already talking about experience mm-hmm. and sex and everything, but we got another question that said, has anyone else experienced going through all the preteen phases of dating your first boy, but times 10? And I'm sure we have, and I'm sure it's because, especially if it's 2 women dating, like, we're socialized to, like, talk about feelings and be more open and feel them. And obviously that doesn't apply to every lesbian, ask my ex-girlfriend, but like, obviously that's like where U-Hauling comes in, and the processing and all these stereotypes about like the emotional connection and kind of feeling like we missed out on certain things in our youth, combined with having money and jobs and cars that we might not have had in middle school when we had our first boyfriends.
Yeah.
Like, It just all combines to make this experience possible.
Yeah, I feel like I understand this question on like a couple different levels. Like I feel like when I first really came out and was like dating women, well, I was really dating like queer people exclusively and like really not dating men anymore. And I felt this teenage, like, oh my God, everybody's so cute and I want to like kiss everyone. And I felt it was very like childish feels like a weird word, but it felt very like, you know, you're like getting those like middle school giggles again over like everybody. And it was a really fun period of time. But then I also think when my girlfriend and I first started dating, there was all those like, you know, like playground butterflies, and you do kind of go back to those like little kid feelings. And now you have adult money, so you're like buying them gifts all the time, and you're like, everything's crazy and I can't think about anything else. And I feel like part of that when you're like younger is just like hormones or whatever, but then I feel like part of that as an adult is just like experience like the, you know, euphoria of being gay and then being in love. Like I think being in love makes you crazy in like a great way, but in a way where you're like, I can't stop thinking about this person, I can't stop smiling, and I can't stop looking at pictures of us, and I'm literally begging for anybody to ask me so I can talk about her. And you're like, am I going crazy? And it's like, yes, in love, like I'm looking so crazy right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, this is what Beyonce was talking about.
Literally that.
You saying that reminded me of like when we were kids and like everything was like exciting and fascinating, and because you hadn't experienced anything yet. Yeah. And then kind of like if you had gone through a dating men phase at all, or like started dating men in your youth, that's kind of what it feels like it's new and exciting because it's something you haven't experienced yet. And if it's dating women and like foraying into like the queer community, and especially if like you've never experienced that and you're older, like yeah, it's gonna be exciting, it's gonna be new, it's gonna be scary, it's gonna be exhilarating, it's gonna be all these things. And I don't know, I think that's beautiful. I mean, it can kind of be like weird to relive those feelings, but I think that's like a beautiful thing that we get to experience throughout our lifetimes, that like we don't always get to like relive those phases of life or like those feelings. Like sometimes shit feels stagnant and the same, and it's nice to have experiences that like remind you that we're here to experience all of what life has to offer.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it's just like nice to let those feelings of giddiness be something you can experience as an adult as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So leaving all of our good feelings behind for just one quick second, somebody asked, why does it seem like the lesbian community is not accepting of this? And I guess this being like coming out, quote unquote, later in life, I feel like it's bullshit if they're not accepting of it. Cause like, aren't we all just trying to do what we can with the same bullshit script that we were given in this compet life? But like, I guess if people are feeling judgment, you need to go to other queer people. Like, I don't honestly see, like, I feel like I see a lot of this, but.
Yeah, it's definitely giving biphobia. It's giving insecurity. It's giving, I don't, like, we always say this, but like, why are you the queen of being queer? Like, why are you in charge? Why is how you live your life or have lived it like the end all be all? People have different experiences. And I think, especially the older you get, I think people are more accepting of it because there's like more life experience, and people realize that it's not always like easy or linear or whatever. Like, and the older you get, the more nuance you have, and the more you hopefully can realize that like it's not a bad thing to come out later. It's a good thing that should be celebrated.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
Yeah.
Well, our last question is something I actually kind of thought about as I was coming out. The question is, should you wait until you have a partner to come out to people you don't see often. And I thought a lot about when I was first coming out, like, is this normal for me to be talking to this person about like this part of my sexuality if I don't have a partner? Because especially with my parents, I never talked to them about someone I was dating. I only ever introduced them to like serious partners. And I was kind of like, do I wait till I have a partner? Do I, like, how long is that going to take? So should I not? And I really wasn't sure. And then there were people who I talked to about my sex life. So I was like, well, they're going to know because the first thing I was doing was having sex rather than getting a partner. And so it was just like hard because I do see both sides. I don't know if should, like, should is a strong word. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to say what somebody should do, but I do see both sides because I debated that. The trouble was, it was like, well, I don't have a fucking partner. So what am I just feeling like, wait? And then what pressure to put on that person? Like, I didn't want it to all fall under that first person I'm dating to be like, well, I'm using you as a tool to come out. Like, that didn't seem fair either.
Right.
So I don't know.
I was kind of going to say the same thing. And like, if you've ever been in therapy, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, like, don't shit on yourself. Like, don't say you should or should not do something, because there's no shoulds. It's just like whether you do or don't, or want to or don't.
Yeah.
And I think there are pros and there are cons to both sides of this coin. Like, you either come out and you don't have a partner, and maybe some people don't take you as seriously or don't understand, or, you know, like, I don't know. But then there's also like the other side where if you do come out with a partner, like, that could have a negative impact on them and or the relationship. Like, there are just like definitely cons to both sides, but I think there are pros too, because you're valid in your queerness and your sexuality and your identity and everything without a partner as well. Like, that's not the end all be all, and people should accept that about you whether or not you have a partner. Like, it shouldn't be dependent on that. And also, it is nice to like have irrefutable proof. Like, I know when I first tried to come out to my mom, she was like, no, you're not. Like, you're just you're confused. You don't know what you want, kind of thing. And like, she's come a long way since then. But like, if I had a partner and I was like, hey, look, I have a girlfriend, like, how could she, you know, try and make me feel that way about myself? Like, if I'm in a whole relationship, and like, obviously people can and will and do in some cases, but like, I feel like it might be a little less likely if there's another person in the picture. So there's just pros and cons, and I think you have to weigh those out for you personally, and also it varies from person to person, I think, too.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of what feels right for you. And if it's people you don't see often, like, you don't have to worry about it too much. You know, you can kind of let it come out naturally, maybe. You know, it's kind of hard, and obviously it depends on each individual dynamic with, like, the people in your life. But I think you should do whatever feels organic and not put, like, this is what I, you know, have to do once I get a partner. Or, you know, it's just a matter of what you feel comfortable with and what your dynamic is with all those people. So right. No matter when you came out, we're very happy that you are listening with us. And if you have any questions for future episodes, please send us those via maybe DM, because you can follow us anywhere online at Sapphic Survival Guide, except for X, which is just at Sapphic Survival. And you can, of course, send us an email, sapphicsurvivalguide@gmail.com. And we would also like suggestions for future episodes. We'd love if you could rate, review, follow, you know, do all the things so we can be seen by other queer people. And if you like us and want some more, we have bonus content, patreon.com/sapphicsurvivalguide. And then you can follow me anywhere online at The Libra Gina, including my website, thelibragina.com. And you can listen to Hello, my other podcast, for your Jersey Shore recaps.
And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Mespian on pretty much any social media platform. And with that, class is now dismissed. Get out of here.